today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and I am excited to bring you another Best of the Best broadcast today. Now, before we get to this program, I want to tell you why now is a perfect time to partner with us here at Family Talk. From now until the end of the month, every dollar you bless us with will be doubled thanks to a charitable matching grant. So if you're able to support us through the holiday season, your donation will go even further to help us reach those who are hurting and continue to fight for the family. Give securely online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can pledge your support over the phone by calling toll-free 877-732-6825. That number again is 877-732-6825. And please know how much we deeply appreciate your contributions and your consistent prayers for the ministry here at Family Talk. Now, on today's edition of the program, we will be highlighting a great conversation featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and clinical social worker Leslie Vernick discussing emotionally destructive relationships that some women find themselves in. This interview was recorded at the American Association of Christian Counselors World Conference last fall. Here now is that interview on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Leslie, thanks for joining us, and we're going to talk today about a pretty tough subject. There are a lot of women out there listening, or maybe they know of a woman who is in a difficult, and we're going to use the word destructive, relationship. Leslie, we're not talking about a subject today where we're going to create an opportunity to have an excuse to get out of a relationship that you just don't feel good about. All of us go through, again, periods in our marriages where we don't feel close, and we've got to do work. And sometimes we have to double down and maybe look inside and do the work of marriage. This is different than that.
Yeah.
Our conversation today is going to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been married 42 years, and Eugene Peterson said, marriage is a long walk in the same direction. But if you're not walking in the same direction together, sometimes it's really tough after the long haul. But when someone's actually throwing firebombs in that direction, you may have to do something different. And that's what we're talking about, some real destructive behaviors.
And as we go into this, I want you, first of all, to just, you canvass the country. This is your heart. This is a ministry God's called you to. Can you tell us what you're seeing in terms of the landscape out there? What's happening around you? What's happening in Christian circles? What are you seeing in the lives of women in relationship?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of heartache. I'm seeing a lot of women in difficult relationships. I'm seeing a lot of women in disappointing relationships. But most of my focus is in women who are in destructive marriages. 1 in 4 Christian women report being in a destructive marriage. That's in the church. It's no different than in the world. And that breaks my heart, because God cares nothing more than about relationships and how we love well and how important that is to his heart. And the fact that we're doing such a poor job in the church of ministering to these women who are confused and desperate and crying out for help and broken breaks my heart.
You and I would both agree that all marriages go through periods of disaffection, maybe icy spots, difficult times where you don't feel close. But we're taking this conversation to a different place. And those moments when it really does turn to become harmful. And we're going to talk a little bit about physical abuse and hurt, domestic violence, interpersonal violence that others call it out there. But I want to talk about the emotionally destructive relationship. What does that look like? Can you define it for us? Help us understand what you're talking specifically about. People get real, nervous and edgy when we go into this area, but it's so important for us to talk about it.
Well, let me give 4 areas that are applicable to a destructive marriage. And one is when a woman feels controlled, that she has no voice, no choice, no freedom. Let me give a story that really illustrates this. Bill was a very alpha male in his home. He wanted to be the leader and the spiritual leader, and he made all these rules for his wife, Teresa, to live by. And one of the rules was that she was not allowed to talk on the phone after he got home from work. He figured that she could talk all day to whoever she wanted to talk, but when he was home, that was his time to be with her, and he didn't want her to talk. Now, that didn't take into account that Teresa worked from home, and she had a lot of work to do during the day, and she didn't just have all kinds of free time to talk on the phone, but that was his rule. So one night during dinner, she gets a phone call, and she looks at her phone, and it's her sister, and she answers the phone because she thinks it's a family emergency. Well, now Bill is really angry at her because she's done this. And so after the phone call's over, they're arguing back and forth, and he grabs her cell phone and he throws it in the sink. And he says, now you're not going to be able to talk on the phone. So now they go to their pastor because she's upset about this. And their pastor is going, well, no, Teresa, you shouldn't have provoked him. You know, you shouldn't have been talking on the phone. That Bill, you know, he's your husband. And so then we have to ask the question, when a couple is married, does that mean Bill gets to decide for Teresa when she can talk on the phone? I mean, she's an adult. She's a grown-up. She can't talk to her sister.
But she's lost her voice.
She's lost her voice. She's lost her choice. She doesn't have the freedom to say, hey, Bill, I know you'd prefer that I not talk on the phone when you're home, but this is important to me. She doesn't have the freedom to do that. So when a woman feels control, that she has to be like a child in the relationship or a slave, that she has no choice or voice, that's a destructive marriage. God calls us to be two adults and partners in a marriage, not where one person has power over another person. So that would be one area that's destructive. He doesn't have to use physical force. He can use economics. He can use the scriptures to control her. He can use emotional words verbally. You know, the Bible says a lot about reckless words pierce like a sword, and life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so a woman can be battered with words, and they do a lot of damage to who we are as a person. So that would be one area, control. Another area is where a woman can feel confused. Let me give you an illustration. So this would be just a simple illustration. You know, you're married to someone and you say, hey, these are the rules we're going to live by. You know, if you're going to be late, call. And we agree to those.
Yeah, we're trying to establish some boundaries
together.
Yeah,
some boundaries together. And so then when I hold you accountable, hey, you said you were going to call and you didn't call and you're 20 minutes late or 50 minutes late. You're trying to control me. I didn't say that. What's wrong with you? Like, wait a minute, I thought we had this conversation. And you start to doubt yourself and you start to feel confused. Like, I thought we were on the same page, and now we're not on the same page. And when that happens again and again and again, we're talking about patterns of behaviors, not just one-time incidents. You start to feel a little crazy inside. Like, I thought we were agreed at this. I thought we made this decision together. Now you're calling me controlling. You're calling me, you know, a bad wife because I'm asking you to be accountable to what you agreed to. And so that can be very destructive. And I think another area that's really important is when you're lied to constantly. You're told what you see happening, it didn't happen, or what you see as evidence of him not handling the finances well, that she's making it up, that it's not true, that it must be identity theft, you know, all this deception around pornography, all those kind of things can be very destructive to a woman because she begins to doubt her own perceptions of what I'm seeing is true.
Yeah. You said a word I think is really important. That's the word pattern here. Because you're just looking at isolated events, although you and I would both agree on a zero tolerance in terms of physical abuse.
Yeah, one-time event may be enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In this space, and clarify it a little bit more, because for the woman listening right now whose eyes are filled with sorrow, where she feels lost, and she has lost her voice, and she's saying, you're describing my world right now. That's where I'm at. What specifically should she be seeing here that says, okay, I'm in a really tough spot? She thinks she is, but she's not sure. What do you say to her?
I say to her, it's really crucial that you be a good helpmate to your husband. And what I mean by that traditionally is prop him up and just be the good wife and do whatever he wants. Love him more, respect him more, you know, serve him more, and he'll come around. I don't mean that. What I say to her is, hey, you want to love your husband well? What does he need the most right now? He needs a wake-up call. He needs to become more aware of what he's doing that's destructive, because if he doesn't become more aware of it, then he's going to destroy his whole family. And that's not good for you, it's not good for your kids, and it's not good for him. So to love him really well means that she's going to have to learn to be strong enough to start to speak up. And so really helping her be empowered to say, hey, just being the quiet, submissive, enabling wife to this kind of behavior is not good for me. And it's not only not good for me, it's not good for him.
So what you're saying, Leslie, is love does have limits.
Love has limits, love has boundaries, and love speaks the truth. And when we sometimes encourage a woman just to placate and pretend and sort of sit on the seat of the car while her husband's driving the entire family straight off the cliff, and she's not allowed to say, whoa, stop, this is dangerous, I'm getting out, I'm calling someone, I'm getting help, because she's somehow being unsubmissive or ungodly, that's not biblical. It's not biblical, and it's not helpful.
Leslie, a lot of women who are in those type of predicaments get afraid. Because the truth is, those patterns have gone on for so long, and they've prayed like, I remember when we were kids, we used to ride our bicycles and have a contest so you could keep their eyes closed the longest, you know, while we're riding it. And I think about a lot of men and women in their adult years too still have that same mentality. They're going to keep their eyes closed, and hopefully for one more second when they open it, everything will have changed, and it never changes. And the truth is, what do you do with the woman who feels very afraid? I mean, seriously, it could, the threat of losing her family, the threat of only making it worse at home, mm-hmm. at least I can manage it, you know, that I can put up or tolerate a little bit of this. What do you say about that?
I tell her a couple things, but the first thing I tell her is, look, let's work with you. And the first thing that you need is you need to put your marriage in its proper place. For so often, we've told Christian women to be husband-centered women, marriage-centered women. And so I say, you can put your marriage in a high priority, but it can't be the most important thing, that you have to become a God-centered woman now. You've got to listen to who God says you are. You've got to learn about who God says you are, because he's the one who's going to get you through this. He's the one who's going to give you the courage and the strength and the guts to do what you might have to do. And until you become a God-centered woman and put your marriage in its proper place, because if marriage is idle and marriage is, I have to have this or I'm going to die, then she can't possibly be taking the steps.
Because true intimacy really is oneness with healthy separateness.
That's right.
You have two people who come to this relationship, two people who have their identity, their world before God.
Right.
And they bring their strengths and their weaknesses to this relationship.
Right.
This is where they become one, where they dedicate their life, their lives to each other, where they're to be there for one another, thick and thin. But when that goes awry,
right,
therein lies the challenge. Why do so many women feel stuck, like they can't move the needle at all? They don't know what to do. And they'll even listen to a program like this, and they'll say, that's where I'm at. And the tears will come down her face while she's listening, maybe driving down the road right now. And she's saying, she's crying out, God, I want something to change. I want a healthy marriage. I just want him to love me. But she's immobilized.
And I would say to her, as tough as it's going to be for her to hear, change begins with her. That she can influence her husband at times, but if she's in a destructive marriage, she's lost most of that opportunity to influence him. In a healthy marriage, you can influence your husband. In a destructive marriage, it's very tough. The Bible says that most of the time, the only way fools learn is through tough consequences. And so part of her changing the dance that they're dancing is that she's going to have to be strong enough to allow the consequences to fall.
What do you say to her? She says, okay, I need to take steps. I don't want to blow it up. I don't want to destroy my home, but I know I need to go in a direction. I need to do something. Leslie, what's the first step that she needs to take?
Well, the first step I would take with someone is I would assess for safety. So how dangerous
Absolutely.
Is this? If there's any threats of homicide or suicide or strangling the cats or any kind of evidence of past behavior.
And God does not expect a woman to tolerate violence of any sort. I don't believe that at all.
I don't either.
We have a zero tolerance policy.
Well, and it strikes me as so odd that so many pastors and professionals, I mean, if her life was in danger, he probably wouldn't say this, but so many of them say, well, you know what? You just have to trust God and suffer for Jesus. And, you know, I think of God valuing safety. And a woman first needs to know that God cares about her safety. And that's important. And if she's in danger for her very life, it's not ungodly or wrong for her to take measures to protect herself.
Step number two.
Step number two is, so assess a safety plan. So if there's been no safety issues, it's just that she is feeling smothered and crushed and confused and deceived and controlled, but she's not afraid that she's going to be killed or her children are going to be harmed. She's going to have to learn how to own her problem, and she might have to initiate a tough conversation with her husband. That would be the first step, such as, I can't live this way anymore. I can't keep doing this. I'm not going to pretend that what you're doing doesn't hurt me and doesn't matter. It's affecting me. It's ruining our marriage. I'm not happy. I'm not happy in the way our relationship is. Now, he probably won't hear that. He'll make excuses, and we need to teach women how to set good boundaries so that the abusive behavior is lessened, so that they're not as hurt.
Let's be honest right here. That's terrifying.
It is.
It's really difficult to do because there's so many things you have to consider. And there's a tendency at times, Leslie, to become the epitome also of what you hate here, to go to the absolute extreme in the other direction. How do you temper that? Because ultimately, and I know you, you love marriage. You want to honor that bond. You want couples, even in these kind of situations, to get to a place of health and love together. We're saying probably the only opportunity for health and the future of that relationship is to put a stake in the ground and say, listen, we've got to stop this. This isn't working for us. This is destroying you. It's killing me. And we're not going to make it. And the only shot we got at making is somebody's got to say, we're not doing this anymore.
Right. I'm not doing this anymore.
That's terrifying, though.
It's terrifying.
And when you get terrified, you tend to go completely to the other extreme. How do you temper that?
Well, I think one of the things I do with women is help them build core strength. You know, just like physical bodies need core strength, I think spiritually, emotionally, especially people who have been battered down into a deformed identity, needs core strength. And so really helping a woman understand why she needs to do this and why this is so important for her to take responsibility for herself and for her family and begin to initiate some change for their welfare. Of course, we want marriages to work, but we want them to work in a way that's honoring to God. What gives God more glory? A woman standing up to injustice and evil and destruction, or a woman just allowing everybody to be destroyed in her family because she's too afraid to stand up? And so we're looking at God's glory here, not just the sanctity of marriage, but God's glory, and really saying, okay, yes, it would be wonderful, and I will work as hard as any man would work to repair this relationship. But if one isn't going to work at all, and they're going to say, you know, I'm not going to work on this, and I refuse to change, and I don't want to get any help, you can't fix a broken relationship all by yourself. Jesus tells us this. He says in Matthew 18, if someone has sinned against you to the extent that it's so grievous that you can't forbear, go to them, talk to them. And what? If they refuse to repent, this relationship is still broken. Then bring some other people that can maybe convince him, the church. And if he still refuses to repent, the relationship is not repaired. It's broken. And he says, treat them as you would a pagan and a tax collector, which means in my idea of what Jesus meant, treat them with kindness, treat them as an enemy, but you don't have a close, intimate relationship with them. The relationship is like an enemy. And so I think to be able to understand the reality of that and help a woman work towards speaking up and standing up and inviting her husband to change and asking people to be in part of that concert. When I've worked with churches who have been on board with that whole process, it has been the most successful in getting true reconciliation to happen because they need that accountability and that structure.
And when that happens, it usually kind of evens the playing field, and you got two healthy people who can then engage and hopefully develop a compatibility, a freedom, a place where you are free to love and be loved.
Yeah, or two unhealthy people who recognize they're both unhealthy, because the victim is just as unhealthy as the perpetrator, because she is allowing this to continue. And so part of her job is to get healthy, and part of his job is to get healthy. And if she can get healthy and he can get healthy, yes, then you can begin to put this together. So one of the unhealthy things that women do, which I'm going to talk about, is you said, you know, just get so afraid. But other things that they do is when they start to get some information, like after this program, they're going, wow, I'm not putting up with this anymore. And they start getting abusive. They start giving it right back.
Exactly.
And they start becoming ugly and mean. And I can't tell you the number of women who write to me and say, I've become like my husband, and
yes,
I'm ugly, and I don't like myself anymore, and I don't like the person I've become, because sin and evil infects us. And so often, even when women go to more secular help for domestic violence and abuse, you know, they're empowered, but they're empowered just to be mean and ugly right back, which isn't healthy for them either. And so to really help a woman get strong and healthy is really our job in the church, to really equip them with that core strength.
Nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who loves you, and their actions, their words, the very essence of who they are,
God
pours that out toward you.
That's right. And I think this is another really good thing to talk about, because oftentimes the words that abusers use, whether they're verbal abusers or emotional abusers or physical abusers, is, I'm sorry, and I promise. But those words actually have no actions that follow them up. And God has a lot to say about words that don't have any actions following them. And so words are easy to say, but we're looking for changed behaviors. And so when we talk about the fruit of repentance, we want to look for actions of change, not just promises of change.
Yes. Leslie, step three. What does she do?
So if after initiating this tough conversation, she just gets all smoke and mirrors, there's, you know, no changes.
No change.
No
same,
change.
Same pattern. Same pattern.
You know, there might be a little honeymoon phase like we talked about where there's...
But I go right back to it.
Right. I'm sorry. I promise. I'll get the help. I'll do whatever. And then there's no change. Then the next thing that's the powerful teacher is the law of consequences. You know, the Bible tells us whatsoever man sows, he reaps. And so I don't understand why we tend to avoid this law of consequences in marriage. Like somehow we should get a get out of jail free card every time we mess up. We shouldn't have to experience the consequences. And yet consequences, those painful teachers, are often what wakes us up. So sometimes the consequences of jail or calling the police or having the church know what's going on or separation can wake someone up to their destructive behaviors.
And this isn't about getting even.
No, and
this is about taking healthy steps, hopefully to precipitate change.
To bring reconciliation.
We want something new. We need to get to a new place.
And I think that's why women have to, you know, I mean, they have a great amount of influence and power in this situation to begin to make some changes, and they have to do it with the right heart because they don't want to just do it out of retaliating. You know, God is clear, don't pay back evil for evil. And we can do that very easily in our flesh. And so if a woman's not getting the help that they need in a right way to get strong and God-centered so they can speak into their husband's life with truth and grace and be able to do that without compromising the integrity of the marriage and the relationship, she can have great, great power there.
Step four, Leslie.
So step four is if the consequences are ineffective and they don't make a change, then she's going to have to decide what she needs to do for her safety and her sanity long term. It could be that she has to leave and separate. And how do you leave well? Because so often women who leave are still scared, they're still angry, they're still needy, and they go marry somebody else who's just as destructive. And so they haven't done the work that they need to do to get healthy. And so staying well or leaving well is part of what she can control. She controls what he does.
And she probably isn't going to be able to do this alone.
You cannot do this alone. Not probably. She cannot do this alone. We can't make these big changes.
She's got to have that support coming around her. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the church. Where do you see the church in this whole process?
You know, when I first wrote my book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, I was quite sure I would lose my career because I thought the church would just be very against what I was saying because it's so contrary to what they've done traditionally. And I did get a lot of heat, but I have been so blessed by the number of pastors who have called me for consults, who have asked for training. So I was thrilled that the church is beginning to recognize that the traditional answers that they've given women in these situations and the traditional ways that they've tried to help couples do not work. And traditionally, churches have sort of said to destructive marriages, hey, let's treat this like the common cold of marriage, and we'll do a date night, and we'll do communication skills. And that just is impotent. It's impotent in these kind of marriages.
There is hope for her in that situation.
There is hope for her in that situation. And I would just say, if there's any guys listening who's saying, oh my gosh, I think this is me, there's hope for you too. There's real hope for you. I've worked with a number of men who have made some real significant changes. But you can't change something you won't admit to. And so it starts with owning it.
Yeah, what I love about God is he loves to redeem.
He does.
Brokenness begs for healing. And if you're out there, your heart's crying out that it's not okay anymore. We've got to do something. It's affecting our children. It's destroying us. We're going to lose our love, our home, our future together. Taking that step, Leslie, it's scary, but probably is the only redemptive opportunity you have. And you don't want to do it again, as Leslie was saying, alone. Seek out wise counsel. Ask God to bring into your life everything necessary to bring about that kind of change. Why? So you can love and be loved. That's what it's all about. Leslie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Such an important topic. Thanks.
We pray that the interview you just heard has been an encouragement to you and has helped you identify the dangers of the emotionally destructive relationship. And if you or someone you know is entangled in an emotionally or physically abusive relationship, please call the American Association of Christian Counselors at 1-800-526-8673. When you call, you'll be connected with a Christian counselor who will help you through this difficult time. That number again is 800-526-8673. You can also visit their website at aacc.net to locate a counselor near you or to find helpful materials on that website. Again, that's aacc.net. We hope you've benefited from hearing Leslie Vernick's interview today here on Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about the resources that she mentioned during their conversation, head to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. There you'll find links to her website and more information about other materials that she has published as well. Again, you'll find all of this at drjamesdobson.org. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening to today's program, and thanks also for your continuous backing of our ministry. Be sure to join us again next week as we continue our Best of the Best broadcasts right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a wonderful weekend.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.